Is everybody having a good new year so far? Good new year? Good. Good, good. So last week we talked about going into this new year that we were going to try to, there's a lot of different resolutions and things that people make out there, but kind of challenge everybody to consider in this new year being more devoted to Jesus, being more devoted to God and what He would have you do this year. And this week we're going to pray and ask God to show us the areas of our life that we could be more devoted to Him, the places that we may have some things that we need to let go of so that we can be more devoted, and show us those different things. So this week what I want to look at is one of the things that I believe is going to help us to build a stronger devotion to God is by reading His Word. So I said that we were going to be looking at reading through the entire Bible from cover to cover this new year as a church family, and we would do that by doing like some kind of a Bible reading plan. So we've put that together, but I want to talk about why I think that it's important that we should read the Bible. And I'm going to start by telling you guys a story about whenever I first read the Bible as an adult, which wasn't all that long ago. I can't remember the exact year, probably 2010, 11, somewhere in there. I was I'd grown up in private schools. I had read the Bible through, and then as an adult, I just never did read the entire Bible until my business partner, his girlfriend, who he had two children with, she became a Christian. She became a believer, and she started going to church, and he's going, "What in the world is happening? Like, she's weird now with all this going to church and taking my kids there. I don't know what's happening. So I don't even know what she's talking about believing and what she's going to be teaching our kids." And so I answer these questions. We talk. I'm like, man, the best thing that I can think of is to read the Bible. So he starts reading it in Genesis, and he's reading through. And after a couple weeks, I'm like, you know what? I've never actually read the entire Bible. So I'll tell you what. I'll read through the Bible with you. But, you know, I got out my phone and got the little Bible reading app, and I found a chronological plan that I could go through. And it took me step by step, so if I missed any time, I could see where I was. And we did the entire Bible in 90 days. No, I can't say that because I'd be a liar. He read the Bible in 90 days. I read it in about 93 days. So we did go through the entire Bible in 90 days. That was the plan that we picked because he wanted to get through it. He wanted to know what she believed. And so we read through this entire Bible. Well, at the end of the Bible reading, like, I had grown so much closer. Like, I learned so much about God, the story of God, what He had done, what everything kind of meant more. Because as I'm reading along, I would pick out things that I didn't really understand, and I would go research those some, and I would learn more. And so I got to be a lot closer in my relationship with God. But my friend, he's like, man, that is all just, I can't believe any of that stuff. I'm sorry. It looks like, you know, they made up this stuff here for this reason, and then this for this reason. And so he grew further away. Well, I continued to pray for Tim and pray for him and pray for him. And finally, one day he said, well, you know, maybe there's a God out there, but I'm not ready to, you know, admit that this book here is true. And it's still the same today, 4 or 5 years later. So whenever I think about Tim and in doing this message, I actually did get a chance to think about him. And so I got to pray for him some more that he would start considering that this word is true, that what he read in there is the truth, and that there's no other truth out there like this in the entire world. So here's why I think that it's kind of important that we study God's word. If we're going to be believers, and we all say that we believe every word in this, right? Now, there's some crazy stuff in here that you can read, and then you're kind of like, what? Well, there's stuff in here that other people read, and then they want to twist it and turn it and make it not mean what it means. But I've come up with three different reasons here that I think that we should be studying His Word. We said we wanted to be more devoted to Him this year and learn more about Him and grow closer to God. So here's the reasons why I think we should want to do that. The first one is that we want to go through the narrow gate that leads to life, right? In Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many." So there's this big wide gate out there that is leading to destruction. That's not the one that we want to go on. We want to be on the next part here that says, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Or there are those who find it or few. So there's this narrow gate that we need to follow Jesus through, like this little B thing, it says that a few people aren't, that very few are going to make it through there. So that makes me start going, well, man, I want to be as tight with Jesus as I can be and devote my time and understanding what he's trying to teach me from his word so that I am staying on that narrow path, that narrow gate that leads to life. I don't want to go through the big gate that's easy for, that a lot of people are going to be going through. I want to be going through that narrow gate that I'm going to just barely fit through. Last week we talked about Revelation 3:16, that it says that, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And some translations say vomit you out of my mouth. So God is saying, I don't want you to be, you know, hot or cold. I want you to be hot for me. I don't want you to be cold, and I certainly don't want you to be lukewarm. So if we're living like this lukewarm life that we're not really doing anything for God, we're never uncomfortable, we live like this perfect thing, and we're not doing anything whatsoever, then we're going to start looking like we're lukewarm and get comfortable. And we showed the video not long ago, I think, of Francis Chan on the balance beam where he's up there living that perfect life. And then he's not doing anything whatsoever for God. And he talks about how in the middle of his sleep, you know, he's going to just crawl off of there and throw his arms up in the air and at the judge. And what's the judge supposed to write down? Like, you know, job well done. You lived the most comfortable life possible. You didn't let your kids go outside because the sun has bad rays. You know, all these different things that he lists. And it's like, wow, I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be on fire for this God that I believe in, for this Savior that he sent to me. And then the last thing that I have here is, because of a fear, and people have brought this up recently whenever we're having conversations, that in Matthew 7 also, later on in verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And I read that, I'm like, man, like I want to be sure that I'm on the same page, and this is how we get on the same page with God. Because I don't want to be one of those people that goes up there to stand in front of Jesus, who will judge believers, by the way, and him look at me and say, I never knew you, so go on. These are the people, I think, that they're kind of in that lukewarm place. They're not really doing anything for God. They just want to do what they basically have to do, come to Sunday, sing a few songs, you know, do that kind of thing. They're not devoted to this Creator, this almighty, holy Creator that we're supposed to be devoted to. So we need to know God, and we need to know what we believe, because it's so easy to be fooled, especially in this day and age we're in the information age, right? So there's all kinds of information out there. There's a lot of true information on the internet. There's a lot of false information, a lot of false information, especially whenever it comes to the Bible. There's a lot of great stuff, but there's also a lot of messes. So one of the things that I think of whenever the Bible is talking about these false prophets and these deceivers that are going to come and talk to us, is whenever I was doing that study with my business partner, we read through the Bible together, he came across the story of Horus. Have any of you guys ever heard the story of Horus? Anybody? No? Okay, so Horus, if you go by what he was telling me and what I start off reading, I'm searching for Horus on Google. You know, I'm bringing up Horus and going, oh, wow, man, it's saying that this guy is a parallel to Jesus. So we have Horus here. His mom's name was Mary, only they spelled it M-E-R-I. And this was written like 2,000 years or something before Jesus was ever born, right? And it follows him down. He healed people. He raised people from the dead. He rose from the dead himself. And they show this whole parallel. And I'm like, what? Like, I believed this my whole life. And they're saying that this was written 2,000 years ago. They have these old manuscripts and all this stuff that you couldn't read. It's in, like, hieroglyphics or something. So I couldn't read any of it. But that's what they were trying to say. And then I'm like, it's impossible. Like, there's no way that could be the truth. And so I just kept reading and kept reading, and I didn't give up. And after probably about a week of kind of being a little bit confused and not finding anything, of all places on Wikipedia, I found the actual Horus. The actual Horus, which is H-O-R-U-S, his story is nothing parallel to Jesus whatsoever. Like, his mom was hovering over something in the ocean and got pregnant, and he's a half wolf, half man. I mean, it's nothing anywhere near it, but these people have twisted this stuff and put it out there, and people start to believe it. If you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in God, you may look at that story and go, wow, yeah, those guys, they're the ones that has it all wrong. This was written 2,000 years before Jesus was ever there. So I'm glad that I came across the actual story and could learn that it was all just mythology and it was something that was just made up and nothing at all like Jesus. But it doesn't end with like these myth things that's out there. There's a lot of misguided information. And we need to know our Bibles because it's like Peter said in 1 Peter 3, starting in verse 13. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. This is the important part. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile you, your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. So Peter's saying we need to be prepared to defend our faith, to give reason that we have our hope in Jesus Christ. We need to always be prepared for that. Right, here's how we get prepared for that. We need to know what's in here. We need to practice it. We need to read it on a daily basis and grow and learn and study and not just read, but we need to go back and see what the things mean. If there's something we don't understand, we don't just let it go and go, well, I can't really understand that, so I'm just going to throw that one. Go research it. Find a study Bible that you can see the notes in the bottom and find things. There's a lot of great commentary, so we need to do that because there's a lot of people out there that they just want to misguide us. They want to lead us astray, and especially whenever it comes to some of the people on the internet and these groups out there. My most recent in the seminary classes, the teacher said, you know, not everybody's going to be like James over there that gets on Facebook and argues with atheists and Buddhists and Hindus and everything. So not everybody's going to do that. But the most recent thing is I got onto a Islam forum. Somebody added me into this group and it was like a playground for me to get in there and talk with all these guys and show them where they were saying wrong things. But eventually I realized that they weren't listening at all, and so I eventually bailed out on those guys. But here's an example of something that we might see on the internet. We might be having a conversation with a friend, or we might be having a conversation with a coworker, and somehow we move it over into religious things or things about Jesus, and they might say something like, you know what, I don't really believe in your fairy tale. And even if I did, I couldn't believe in your cruel God, because in Deuteronomy 22, it says that if a woman is raped, then she has to marry the rapist. And how cruel is that? Now, can you imagine everything that she's gone through, and then God's going to say that she has to marry this guy? And whenever he let, I'm like, what? You know, what are they talking about? And so you might start to get kind of confused and start going, I can't really believe that God would ever say that. Did he really say that? And then you might even go and read some of the texts that they put up there that, of course, they're going to change up some wording and stuff in. And you might even go to your own Bibles and still look at that and go, man, I can't really reconcile this. But if you study his word and you read what it actually says, the whole area that they're talking about is not talking about what they said at all. It's talking more about if you get caught, if a guy gets caught with a woman, then he's going to have to pay her dad, kind of like the shotgun weddings. Y'all seen the shotgun weddings on Westerns, right? Where dad finds out about something going on, and so he's behind him with a shotgun, makes him get married. That's kind of like what those verses are talking about, is you're going to have to marry her. And not only that, later on, whenever Jesus says that you can divorce if one or the other commits adultery, these guys wouldn't even be able to do that. They're stuck forever. It says, see if I've got that in there. I don't think that I've got that in there. Nope. But God says that it is a sin to have sex before marriage. So he's holding them accountable and saying that if you mess around before you get caught, then you're going to have to marry her and you can't divorce her no matter what. So it's completely different. It's a different context than what these people on the internet are trying to say, right, about having to marry someone that has hurt you in some way. So that's just one example of different things that people are going to take out of context in the Bible. And if we're not studied up on what it really says and what it really means, we might get confused by that stuff. But if we're studying, we're staying in there daily and we're reading and learning and growing, then we're going to go, you know what, I don't think that that's true. And here's what I think that it actually means and where you may be misquoting and not understanding what it's actually saying. And we do that in love and we do that with grace. And that's how we can talk to people and help them to understand better. So there's many different things out there that we can, in our culture and things that people are saying, that we need to be able to defend our faith against the people that are going to oppose us. Paul says to Timothy that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That was 2 Timothy 3:16. So here's a quick example of something that we can be taught or be corrected about from Scripture. And there's a long list of these things, but this is like my pet peeve. The one thing that really just bugs me whenever someone says this. And that's whenever someone says, "You can't judge me, only God's my judge." We've all heard that, right? You can't judge me. And you may be saying something that's not really even judgmental. You're just pointing out something that, you know, a brother or sister in Christ is being sinful about something. And you're going, you know, "Hey, you know, it says here that you probably shouldn't have told that lie, and here's the repercussions for what may happen for that, and you probably should be honest with that person." And they're going, "You can't judge me." You know, "I wasn't trying to judge you. I was just trying to say that you're doing that." But even so, it's taken out of context. I saw something recently on a website where they took that scripture and, like, everything around "you can't judge," they just scribbled out all the scriptures around it. And that's kind of what you have to do to even use that, because Jesus is talking about the hypocrites, like the Pharisees. It's in Matthew 7. He's calling them out and saying, "You can't be judgmental towards these other people and being mistreating them and calling them out on their stuff whenever you guys are messing up just as bad. You guys are doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing either. Like, you're really good at telling everybody else what they're doing wrong, but whenever you go home, you're looking at stuff on your computer that you shouldn't be." He didn't really say that to the Pharisees, but you're going home and doing things you shouldn't be. You're lying to people. You are committing adultery in your heart. You are telling people that they shouldn't smoke or cuss or pick up a bed to help somebody on the Sabbath day, right? Like, they were skewing all these rules, and they weren't holding themselves to the same level that they were holding everyone else. So we need to understand that it's not judging someone to point out where there may be some sins, some things that they need to work on, and hold someone accountable to that, because we're all going to be held accountable on judgment day to what God tells us in His Word. So there's actually, to the Corinthian church, Paul tells the Corinthian church, he lays out a plan of discipline within the church. So if you're not supposed to tell anybody that they're doing something wrong, why would that even be needed if we were supposed to just, you know, go, "Everybody can do whatever they want to in the church. It doesn't really matter what they do." But it doesn't. He says that if someone is messing up, then we're supposed to go to them as an individual and talk to them and explain to them, and then they should repent. If they don't, we're supposed to go back with two or three brothers, and we're supposed to talk to them then. And if they don't repent, then we're supposed to take it before the church. And then from the church, if they still are unrepentant, we're to treat them as an unbeliever. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to kick people out of the church. That just means that they're not going to be able to serve in leadership positions. They're going to be treated as an unbeliever until they come to repentance. So it's a lot different than "you can't judge me, only God is my judge," because we're going to judge people by their fruits. We're going to see whether they're a believer or not. We're going to be looking at that. We can't help it, because we're people. It's not our job to judge their hearts and say, "You're going to go to hell for what you did," because we don't know their heart or whether or not they're saved. But we still are able to point out things, and that's not judgmental. Instead, we should take what someone says and listen to that and take the time to really pray on that before we go lashing out at someone whenever we're called out on something. But it's usually our immediate reaction to want to snap back and say, "You can't tell me not to lie because just last week you did this," those kind of things. So we need to recognize that we mess up, and other people mess up as well. And sometimes we need to just, you know, let go of our pride and go, "Okay, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry. I've messed up. God, I am asking for your forgiveness," and we need to stop doing whatever we're doing. We need to turn away from that. So I want to kind of wrap up today's lesson, and the what I'm thinking is the first step for this new year in becoming more devoted to Jesus. We need to know what our Bibles say. We need to read this book. We need to do our best to understand this book. This is God's story. We fit into God's story throughout these pages. He has a plan for our lives, and we need to read and hear, and we need to pray, and we need to have that tight relationship with Him so that we can understand the plan that He has for our life. We need to remember, and I found a really good quote, that we need to remember that God's inspired and inerrant word was given to us for many reasons, to teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and instruct us in righteousness. It is also given that we may be complete and equipped for every good work. It was given so that we can be prepared to give reason for our faith by reading the Bible on a consistent basis. You can find direction for your life and learn how to best serve the Lord who gave His life for you. Isn't that true? That's very true. So if you accepted my challenge last Sunday, then you've been praying this week that you would know what God wants from you to be more devoted to Him this year in 2016. You've been praying, what can I do to be more devoted? What do I need to let go of? What do I need to do? And I hope that God spoke to you this last week. I really hope that you personally. So how many of you guys know some changes that you need to make in 2016 that God, through your prayer, you were actually able to figure out some things that you need to change to be more devoted to God? I did. Is there anybody else? Oh, it should be everybody. Because there's always more that we can be doing for God. There's always more that we can do to be more devoted to Him, to have the life that He wants us to have. So my challenge this week and throughout this year is to begin reading God's Word daily. I want us as a church to read God's Word all the way through, but in like an easier way. A way that I did this last time is chronologically. So it flows better if you're reading the story kind of from the beginning to the end than reading Genesis, Exodus, and reading up through the verse, because you'll find in this chronological that like Job fits into Genesis. So you'll be reading in this chronological plan through Genesis, and then they're going to throw Job in there and maybe some other stuff. So you're going to be skipping around a little bit in this chronological plan, but you do get through the entire Bible in a year. There's some things that may not repeat, like the kings can repeat a lot of things, and some things can be repetitive, but you'll miss out on some of that. But the chronological plan is very easy, and it flows better whenever we read that. So this week, what I'm going to do is I've provided everybody here, hopefully, and if not, we can print off more, so it's no big deal, with a sheet back there that Thurman could hand out if he wanted to. But it has a... let me get one real quick. I'm going to like step out. I should have taken one up there with me. $5. They're free. Okay, so this has through the Bible in a year chronologically. And there's several different ways to do this, right? So I know that we've got some people that they're just not really readers. I wake up really early in the morning and I like to read instead of listening to something, usually because Amber's sleeping, and if I wake her up, that can be dangerous. So I read in the morning. I read in the Bible. I read in other books that I've got. I like to read, but I know that some people really like to listen to audio. So there's several cool ways to do that. One is on the Bible app on here that's just called the Bible, I think. It's YouVersion, YouVersion's Bible. Yeah, Bible from YouVersion.com. You can pick a chronological plan, and then you can actually have it read it to you in a few different translations so that you can put your headphones on and just listen to the Bible. It takes about 15 or 20 minutes a day, between 10 and 20, so we'll say an average of 15 minutes per day to read the entire Bible in a year. Whenever you do it in 90 days, just so you know, it's an hour and a half to 2 hours of reading every day. But if you listen or read it, it takes about 10 to 20 minutes a day, and that's it. That's all that we're giving to our Lord and Creator, the one that we are devoted to, that we devote our entire lives to, that we say we believe every single word in here, so we need to do that in just 10 or 15 minutes a day. So this there's a chronological daily Bible from NIV that Amber went and found. It's hardback. They've got it for $10 to $20, and it combines all the passages into some. So it'll like take. It won't ever repeat things. It just flows through the entire Bible. There is the Bible app, and then we also on the back of this right here, stapled to it, is the reading plan. So if you are a reader and you just want to read in good old trusty Bible that doesn't have a battery on it or anything, then we've got it right here, Genesis 1 through 3, Genesis 4 through 7, 8 through 11, then Job, and then more Genesis. And so we have that whole entire plan right there to get you through an entire year. Now, I would suggest that, like I had whenever I read the Bible all the way through in the 90 days, an accountability partner, someone that will talk with you and remind you, and you guys can discuss kind of what you read and those sorts of things. Because if you don't have, and I want to say that you should do this with your spouse. But when Amber starts telling me that I need to read the Bible and I haven't read it, and she starts nagging, then I can get irritated, and then it's not so much fun to be like, fine, I'll read it. And you start reading your Bible kind of angry. So it's great to have your spouse there and helping you along, but I would try to find someone that you can read along with that maybe isn't your spouse, that you're not going to get mad at whenever they're going, hey, did you read your Bible? You know, we've got our accountability group that we're texting things and seeing how things are going and all that, and that's helpful to keep you accountable to what you're doing, and you can't really get mad at them because some of them are bigger than you. So that's how that works. So I want to provide that. I want to encourage you to read the Word. I want to pray each day before and after you read. Like, God, open my eyes. Show me what you would have me learn through this text that I'm reading today. What can I learn about your story here that I need to know that's going to help me to be able to defend the reason that I have hope? And then afterwards, thank you for your Word. Thank you for everything that I learned. And if you didn't learn something, then maybe reread it again. Or sometimes you're just reading, you know, so-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot, and you just, you know, get worn out before you even get to the end of the chapter on those things. So, you know, if you're into, what's the word I'm looking for? Genealogy, then maybe that's a great thing for me. My grandparents bring me those genealogy books, and I'm just like, I don't even, you know, there's my grandparents. Yep, okay, that's all I ever really knew. So genealogy isn't my thing, but it may be yours. So there's a lot of crazy things in here. We say that we believe every word, and whenever someone challenges something, you know, like a donkey talking. Did you guys all know there's a donkey talking in the Bible? There is. It's really in there. And there's an angel present at the time, and it's because this guy keeps beating his donkey, and his donkey's trying to keep him from getting... So there's things in there that somebody will come up with, and you're like, no, that ain't in there. And then you go read about it, and you're like, wow, that is in there. A donkey's talking. So be sure that as you're coming along, things like that, that you read and find the purpose and the meaning and what that was for. So that is the end of the day. So now what I want to do is just take some quiet time. Just right there where you're at, I'm going to have Patrick to turn on those little side lights and turn off these lights, and we'll just have it kind of dark in here. We'll take some quiet time to just pray where you're at. Ask God to help you to get through His Word this year. Ask Him to help you become more devoted to Him and your purpose in Him through His Word today through your reading. As far as the reading goes, I would start with the January 1, and it's only, you know, 45 minutes. So today, this afternoon, families could sit down, read for 45 minutes together and get through that part, but try to catch up to January 3rd. That way, you know, we stay on track and we finish by the end of the year. I'm sorry that we couldn't be up here on January 1st, but anyway, so take some time to just pray, and then I'll close us out in prayer, and I'll go ahead and pray for our food out there so that we've got that, and before we actually leave the room, we do have to sing happy birthday to the people that have birthdays in January. So with that, Patrick, if you'll just put on some kind of instrumental music or something, and we'll just spend some time praying and turn off those lights too. Whatever it is, just whatever's holding you back this morning, just give that over to God. Give it to Jesus. He says to give Him your burdens. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for Cornerstone Church. I thank you for this building. I thank you for this property. I thank you for the people that make up Cornerstone Christian Fellowship. God, we love you. We want to honor you. We want to devote ourselves to you this year and every year after. We want to grow closer and closer to you. God, help us to have a desire, a craving for your word every single day. You say that we can't survive from bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of you. So God, give us that craving for your word. Prepare us for whenever we do need to defend the reason that we have hope in your Son. God, I ask if there's anybody here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if they have not trusted him with their lives, with their spirit, with everything in them, then God, you would speak to them this morning. We don't know that we've got another day. We don't know that we've got another minute or another hour even. So God, just speak to us this morning. We need your help, though. We're not going to be able to read your word every single day without your help. Satan's going to attack us. He's going to be constantly, constantly giving us reasons that we can't read your word. He's going to tell us we don't have time, that we have too many other things to do, that it's not important, that you don't really want us to. He's going to be telling us all kinds of things. And God, I just ask that you would bind up any spirits that tell us that your word isn't important in our daily lives. God, help us to read as families together whenever we have time, but individually whenever we have to. Help us to learn from your word. Help us to absorb your word and keep it close to our hearts. The entire story of the Bible is all about you and what you've done for us. We thank you for sending Jesus to live the perfect life and that he could reconcile us to you. That you made a way that even though we couldn't get to you, God, that you made a way by coming to us and that you paid the penalty for our mess ups. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. And thank you for what you're doing in the lives of the people around me. God, help us to be warriors for you. Help us to keep our armor on every day and keep it strong. We don't want it to be polished. We want some nicks and some dents in it that show that we are at war in the spiritual kingdom. God, thank you so much. And God, I ask that whenever we go out and we fellowship today, that you would bless the food that is prepared for us out there. And God, that you would just use it to nourish our bodies and give us strength. And God, I ask that you would bless all the hands that prepared it. God, it's in Jesus' name that I ask for all these things. Amen.